And now, unprecedented access to one of America's premier motorsports organizations. SiriusXM NASCAR Radio's Dialed In with Claire Bilain and Roush Fenway Racing invite you to come inside
Jack's Garage.
An exclusive behind-the-scenes look at Roush Fenway Racing.
Before the cars hit the track
and the crews hit the pit, everyone convenes in Jack's Garage.
Jack's Garage.
Here's Claire Bilain. Welcome to Jack's Garage.
Trouble in turn two. A car erupts in smoke. It is the Trevor Bayne machine. I'll tell you, it looks like a mosquito fogger down the back straightaway. Everybody rolling out of the throttle. I am telling you, I can barely see the racetrack. I'm 30 feet away. I don't know how these guys are going to drive through this smoke.
Unbelievable. I mean, really, truthfully, this shows how good the drivers are in NASCAR, that they didn't all just plow into this. And that if you're in the car and you're the driver, imagine that. I can't even begin to imagine. Well, let's bring our guest on for Jack's Garage tonight, Kevin Kidd. He's the director of competition for Roush Fenway Racing, and we have a lot to talk about. It wasn't just Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Trevor Bayne finished 35th at Atlanta after it was described as a mechanical issue, as the smoke poured from the car. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and the 17, they finished 16th at Atlanta despite sustaining damage to the right rear with less than 25 laps remaining in the 325-lap race. Okay, and then Ryan Reed finished 10th, and Chase Briscoe finished 16th in the 60 car. Let's bring on Kevin Kidd. Kevin, oh my goodness, I've never seen so much smoke pour from a car that I can recall. And I know that, you know, engines and mechanical issues are secret. We don't always learn. Sometimes it takes a while to digest it. But where were you when this comes down? And what is your first thought when the smoke is pouring out of that race car?
Yeah, so the first thing, you know, we don't like to go through those things. Mm-hmm. I was with the 17 guys on their pit box, and typical race, I'll sit on the 17 pit box, but I'm kind of listening and paying attention to both cars. And so for probably 15 to 20 laps prior to the six engine letting go there, we knew we had a problem, and we were kind of working our way. I was listening on the radio and listening to the things that they were doing and talking about, and how they were diagnosing the whole situation. And really at that point, you're not fully helpless, but you feel like you're helpless because it's just not a lot you can do. You have to kind of ride it out and try to wait for a caution to see if there's, you know, by some luck you can fix it, but in most cases you can't, and you just have to ride it out, and either it nurses its way to the end of the race or you're in a situation where it's going to expire.
Oh, that's got to be the worst feeling ever. It's wild, Kevin, I have to tell you. After the long day and the rain delay, went back to the hotel to order some food at the bar restaurant at the hotel I was at. There was a couple from Sweden that had come to the Daytona 500, flew here for 2 weeks and came to the Atlanta race. And they were listening on the radio and said you could hear the engine slowly expiring. That sound, I mean, sometimes there is no indication, but sometimes you can hear it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can, you can definitely hear it. Sometimes it's probably a little more pronounced than others. I mean, if you've got something that's particularly like an electrical issue or a fueling issue, the cars just won't run right, and you can hear them. They'll cut up and backfire and carry on. A situation like we had the other night in Atlanta, it's more gradual, and you're just kind of listening for subtle tone changes in the way it sounds, and then as it kind of gets close to the point of finally letting go, it really gets pretty nasty.
And the amount of smoke, I mean, the picture, you know, circulated everywhere, which is, I mean, it's devastating. It's not what you want. But I haven't seen that much smoke. I haven't seen more smoke than that, I don't think, ever, coming out of a car.
It was a lot of smoke. There was probably not very many mosquitoes around in the greater Atlanta area after that happened. It was, without getting into a lot of detail, the nature of the failure and the way it all sort of happened internally, sort of caused that one to be more of a smoker than maybe others have been in the past. And it was just, again, the way it failed, and you know, it's just part of it.
Yeah, it's very difficult because you can't talk about details of that, and you guys probably digest it. But one last thing as it relates to that, the news release that came from your team said it was a mechanical failure. Is it an engine? Is that an engine? What do we call it? I mean, was it an engine failure or some other kind of mechanical failure? And I don't want to pry if there's, you know, teams keep pretty secret on this stuff, but was it a blown engine or was it a combination of things?
No, it was an engine failure. You know, pretty clearly, you know, it's something that we pride ourselves within our organization and being associated with Roush Yates Engines. Those guys do a phenomenal job for us, and you know, very rarely do we have any issues. And this issue was one that was highly unexpected. The part of the engine that failed is one that's got a lot of miles over the, you know, last, you know, basically seasons worth of running. And it was something that that's been durability tested time and time again, and has not really given us any problems. But you know, they've spent a lot of time this week digging into this one and really figuring out what happened, because it was such a surprise. And we know what the answer is now, and we've made corrections to some of the engines moving forward, and you know, knock on wood, never say never, but we're pretty sure we've got the problem identified and put behind us here.
Very well. The way that you explain that, last question, just in general, how you digest these. I mean, what's the process when, you know, Doug Yates builds great engines? You got to figure out what it is. How do you go back and figure it out in general?
Yeah,
what's
so
the process?
It all starts when, you know, at the first signs of failure during the race. When Trevor radios and says, hey, I think I've got an engine problem, that triggers the whole process that the team and Trevor kind of go through. One of the unique things about the Cup Series now is with the ECUs and the fuel injection that we run and the digital dashes that we run in the cars, we're able to actually put some data in front of the driver that allows us to kind of go in and diagnose which cylinder is having an issue. And you know, to a lesser extent, maybe, you know, we can kind of look at electrical signals and fuel signals to see if either one of those are causing a problem, or if it's, you know, what the oil pressure is doing. And so we've got this whole diagnostic page within the dash that allows the team to communicate back to the driver and vice versa. To help pinpoint, okay, you know, we got this whole big engine, but you need to be looking specifically in this location. And so that happens during the race and then all the way up to the point that the engine fails. And then immediately after it fails, you bring the car back into the garage area. And at that point, all the engine guys are kind of surrounding the thing. They plug in their computers. They download all the data off of the car. They also take valve covers off and look inside the motor and just kind of do a top-level examination to see if there's anything obvious that we need to know about to help prepare our thoughts going into Monday. Because what then happens is the car gets loaded on the truck, it gets shipped back to our shop. There's a process Monday morning of getting the engine out of the car that takes a little bit of time. So the whole time that's going on, the engine shop's pouring through that data and pouring through that initial examination of the engine at the track to kind of get their thoughts together on where they need to go look once they get the engine back. And at the point they get the engine back, they just completely tear into it like a bunch of scientists and really try to just understand the problem. And pretty quickly on Monday, most times they know the mode of failure, they understand what happened, and they've already put into place, at that point, in most cases, correction, you know, decisions, to help prevent that same problem in the next weekend's round of engines. So it's a, you know, it's something you never want to go through a lot, and it's also something you never really want to get very good at, because that means you're doing it too much. But I will say that our guys at the engine shop at Roush Yates Engines do a phenomenal job of just handling issues like that when it comes up, and just, you know, dealing with them to make sure that those problems aren't problems in the future.
Hard to believe you could even see what you were doing in that car. It shows how good these drivers are. Their instincts are pretty good. It was a little bit of a mess, but it could be even so much worse. I mean, just watching, we panic. We think about that. And I wonder, the engine rule and the change in the engine rule, how that changes things now when you have an engine issue like this.
Yeah, so, you know, with the engine rules this year, with the sealed short blocks and everything that that's new for this year, the engine that was in Trevor's car was supposed to go race, I think, at Bristol. And so obviously that's not going to happen now, because the engine's, you know, mostly destroyed. So that then sort of kicks the can down the road to where you've got to make that up somewhere later in the season. And you know, kind of gets you off schedule, which is less than desirable, and you know, there's implications from it, and that used to not be an issue, you know, if you go back to last year and years prior, but it's the new norm, and it's what we're dealing with. And the good thing I will say, again, not to continually brag on Roush Yates, but they're deserving of it. You know, those guys do such a good job. That, you know, we're not going to go through that too many times this year. And in addition to that, even using up a mulligan and having to kick the can down the road, so to speak, we're going to just be just fine with our engine package and engine performance wherever we go for the rest of the year.
Makes a lot of sense. Last thing, and I'll let you go. What do you think when you look ahead to Vegas? Now, we're getting the idea that the veterans were really good at Atlanta. The surface was really a challenge. We may see a little bit more of the mixing it up between the two groups as we get to Vegas. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Vegas is a completely different track than Atlanta. I mean, it's yeah, they're both mile and a half, but that's the only thing that's similar between the two. And so I definitely think you'll see a different style of racing. You're going to see probably different faces up front. And in general, it'll just be, you know, just a different race. I think what you're going to see is fast speeds. We went and tested Vegas a few weeks ago, and the cars are just fast around that place. And, you know, so that's going to make aerodynamics probably even that much more important. Not that they're not important in Atlanta, but they're much more important at Vegas. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that are unique about Atlanta that make it its own little animal, so to speak, with, you know, just the surface and how the place is. Vegas is more like the stereotypical mile and a half. And I think, it'll be a real good test for a lot of organizations on where they truly stand this early in the season. And I'm looking forward to getting out there. We had a pretty good test out there, and we feel like we're ready to go compete at a high level.
What I like about this, and I appreciate it, is that Roush Fenway Racing tells the whole story. When you have an engine issue, which you hate, you come on and explain it to the fans, who really appreciate that. It's following a race team through the season, and I couldn't do that without you. And Kevin Kidd, really appreciate you coming on tonight for Jack's Garage. Means a lot, and I'll see you out west, all right?
Yeah, sounds good, Claire. Thanks for having me on.